Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. I'm your host, James Nethery. And you know that we talk only about the infinite banking concept, all things becoming your own banker here at the Banking with Life channel. And you surely know, if you don't know, you should know, the creator of the concept of becoming your own banker was my dear late friend and mentor, R. Nelson Nash. I got to know the young man about 2005-ish, here it is, 2024. So for the last 20 years, I have practiced the infinite banking concept. And, you know, he graduated a few years ago. But from the time I met him until he graduated in 2019, I did everything in my power to be his water boy. If he turned around with an empty hand and needed something, I wanted to have it ready for him. I dearly miss him, think about him an awful lot. And just the other day was kind of going down, you know, memory lane, kind of reminiscing about some of the conversations that we had over the years. And so I thought I would just invite you to go down memory lane with me, and I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you.
God is good, I'll tell you. I said to myself, my word, what an opportunity. Right there in front of me on the front row is a lady doctor from Russia, a neurologist. I'm going to pick her brain right in front of everybody, and I have no earthly idea what that woman's going to say. I'm going to take a chance. Doctor, what part does stress play in medical maladies? Her response, it all starts there. So I asked the group, in your life, in the life of your peers, what do you see as the biggest stress factor? A chorus came back, money. This is how to totally control the money factor in your life, in a place that cannot inflate it. But you got to get across the message to the next generation. Well, what are they exposed to out there?
Noise.
Yeah, the hostile environment, big time. So you got to be patient with them and so forth. And you got to, there's some people that will never catch on. And you can't help it. But, you know, you just have to recognize that you can't force feed this sort of stuff. You can't inject it into their brains. They have to catch it. They have to be fertile soil, receptive to superior seeds. Now, when you do this sort of stuff out there, you're going to run into some superior people. And you know lots of them that I'm talking about there. You know, with all the books that you've read, good grief. Can you imagine what it was like to have Leonard Reed as your personal friend and mentor? And
yeah, no.
Sit and jaw with him like this and such, and that you could pick up the phone and call him, and if he didn't have something pressing, that he would take time and talk to you.
Yeah.
So forth. I mean, golly.
I think I'm as close to that as any living man today could be.
Yeah. Okay.
I got your phone number.
Well. All I'm doing is gathering seeds and trying to find fertile soil in which to plant them. That's all.
Right.
But you got to understand that you plant the superior seeds in fertile soil, but you're also going to get weeds. And you got to recognize weeds. Well, if you get rid of the dang weeds, doesn't the superior stuff stand out like a sore thumb? Well, how complicated can this be? Good Lord. But therein lies the problem. People love to complicate things, don't they? Well, why? I don't understand. Anyway, my wife and I have been working with Dr. Clarence Carson on publishing books and so forth. Carson was my number two man. Leonard Reed was Foundation for Economic Education was my head guy, but the number two man was Clarence Carson, a historian there in Alabama. He wrote history from an economic point of view, financial point of view, well, economic point of view mostly. Anyway, we worked with him for something like 22 years, and it was the influence that I got from him about how to publish books and so forth, so we knew how to self-publish. And we knew something about ordering books and such, and so how many did they order from this printer that we'd been using for Clarence? And Mary said 500, that'll last forever. So when I went out to do the seminar for Kim Butler, she bought 100 copies immediately. So I had placed an order for 2,000. Mary said, "You're going nuts." And so I called him and said, add another 1,000. So I said, well, the book's done rather well. It's in 31 countries and changed the lives of lots and lots of people. So
most of them you'll never meet.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. But it's pretty gratifying to have them call and say, you changed my life. I said, no, I didn't change your life. You saw something of value and you changed.
Uh-huh.
Without you, it didn't happen. Back then, my North Carolina days when I was a forester, at one time, I was president of the Chamber of Commerce. Well, that meant that I got to select the speaker for the annual meeting. Well, being an airplane driver, I picked William Piper, Piper Aircraft Company. He's about 82 years old at that time, and I was about 30. I mean, what an experience to spend you and me time with a guy like that. So, anyway, we had fun just visiting, but one of the messages he got across to our group was, he says, you have a telephone. Big deal. If somebody else doesn't have a telephone, you don't have a thing. All right. What's the message? You may have the best message in the world. You may have the best delivery system in the world. You may have the best technique in the world. But if you don't have a receptive listener, you don't have a thing. So the magic out there is that people see this vision and catch on, guys like James Nethery.
You know, thank you for saying my name. You can throw that around all you want.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's okay. I've come to learn that, you know, it's really, the message is really ultimately freedom and controlling the bank.
Sure, absolutely.
The means is just the life insurance structure, correct?
It's the only thing that meets it's the perfect solution. And sometime the way that you've got to become a CLU. Well, when I went through the course, it was 10 parts and took a couple of years. It was equivalent to a master's degree anywhere. And one of the books that parts was economics. And of all things, the economics book that they used was Paul Samuelson's Economics. That's the textbook that all the colleges use. And so the guy's borderline communist. Good grief, if you extend what he's teaching, life insurance would cease to exist. They don't have life insurance in Russia. Good grief. All right, so here I am studying that course, and I come across this idea that Samuelson's describing. He says, the government taxes the economy $10 billion. Well, that's money coming into the government. Right, James?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, the government's going to spend it, he says. And it'll turn over three times. And so that stimulated the economy. Well, being of the Austrian school of thought for some 62 years now, I deliberately failed that course. I've only failed one course in my life, and it was economics. For CLU studies.
That's funny. I don't care who you are.
Now, I'm also pretty proud of the fact that when I was in college, the first year there, there's Econ 101, and I'm at a D plus. That's Delta plus, not Bravo plus. Okay, I'm proud of that fact because that way I didn't have to wash so much nonsense out of my brain. All right. Anyway, so I deliberately failed the course for CLU studies. On the final examination, I said, yes, so what Samuelson said here is true, but this is also true. Al Capone, the notorious gangster, he steals $10 billion from the American public. He's going to spend it. That'll turn over three times. That stimulated the economy, too. Therefore, we should have more Al Capones. And they didn't see any sense of humor in that at all. They flunked me. I took the course over, gave them their answers, and they gave me a designation. And I've got certificate, whatever, that is all framed and so forth, that I'm a CLU. Well, 8 years ago, getting old and stuff like that, that where we were living, there was more room and more yard to keep up with, and we needed to be doing it our ages. We downsized, and I found that diploma. It was in a closet facing the wall. And I was going to ash can it, but David says, no, I'll keep it. And so I hung it in my garage. So if you want to come see my CLU study, my CLU designation, come visit my garage when you come to Birmingham next time.
And so the French got Syria and the British got the Palestinian area, whatever, meddling in the lives of these people. Okay, the empire that Rhodes envisioned, we have it now.
Yes, absolutely.
It's called the American Empire. 800 military installations of some sort or another around the world. There's no need for it at all.
No, well, they might.
But every bit of it is based on fear.
Yeah, right.
See, I'm leading the movement to change the name of Washington, D.C. to the Fear Factory, because everything that goes on there, that is the common denominator.
Well, you need to make it more complicated, right? The name.
Yeah. They create a problem, and then they present a solution to the problem they created, but people just sit there and take it. And that's absurd.
They keep doing it because it works.
Well, yes, of course.
You know, so, yeah. That's very interesting. Very interesting. You know, the bigger picture of what's really going on in the big wide world, you know, if you know what's going on, you'll know what to do at the UME level, though. Controlling the banking function is beneficial to the family, the community, for the legacy, generations to come. And it's really, really very, very simple. Very simple. You know, I know in the years ago, and it's still true, I mean, the four basics that you have said over and over, and I know it's modified from time to time, but number one, you have to think long range.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay to know real history if you're thinking long range, right? But think long range. Don't be afraid to capitalize. Don't be afraid to put money in, and then practice honesty. You know, we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier with Leonard Reed and Tulsa and Envy. You know, I talk quite often about the devastation of theft, right?
Yes.
It's devastating, but
yes.
Think long range. Don't be afraid to capitalize. Be an honest banker. And then don't do business with banks other than checking and savings. And then in the last few years, you've added change your thinking or rethink your thinking.
Yeah, because you see, I named the whole concept infinite. Well, how do you describe infinite? You can't. And so as time goes by, you see things that you didn't see before, and you build on the things that that you have built and cast away the stuff that obviously doesn't work. It's obvious that the banking function is in the hands of the wrong dang people. Well, you can't change it top down.
You know, we traveled several times out of Texas, you know, 2 or 3 hours, where he would fly into Fort Worth, and then, but he would be presenting his 10-hour seminar in some other state. And so I would just, you know, be his water boy, you know, drive him out there. And, and you know, that was a lot of time that I was able to enjoy with him. And it was just, it was just incredible, you know. And then, of course, you develop a friendship, you know. I mean, it goes beyond business. You know, and it, the impact that he's had on, you know, me personally, our practice, the clients and their lives, and then our family, our clients' family is just incredible. And I find myself today, I mean, not just today, but lately, not even lately, I have found myself over the few last several years, just defaulting to some of the basics of what Nelson's message was and how he conveyed them, you know, clarity and simplicity. You know, you just can't spend that much time with someone and not have them affect your life.
Right? Oh, yeah.
So, but, you know, I'm glad I got to meet him and, you know, and spend all that time with him. He has greatly affected me. And, you know, we even spent some time in Austria, I think back in 2012-ish, somewhere around there. And that's an interesting thing in itself, you know. I mean, just to have that opportunity. Well, there are a group of individuals, mainly agents and advisors, as I recall. They were going to, you know, treat Nelson and Mary on a trip to Austria, which is one of his favorite cities in the whole world.
Vienna.
And actually, it was the 100th anniversary of Mises, I believe, because that's why we went. It was a Mises event. And, you know,
could be wrong, but maybe the 100 year passing or the 100 year anniversary of his passing, I think it was.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Okay.
Wrong. But yeah, it was a Mises Institute event, and they held a gathering out there in Vienna.
At the College of Vienna. It was awesome. Had the tour where Mises went to high school and heard some original recordings of Menger. But, you know, Nelson, he loved Austria. He'd been several times. And just, you know, the camaraderie of that. But here, I got to tell you, these guys were, these people were putting this together, and they say, hey, James, you want to be a part of this? And the first question out of my mouth was, you know, well, yeah, how much does it cost? And the guy said, well, what does it matter? He said, do you have life insurance? Well, of course I do. He said, we'll finance it. So I'm like, yeah, duh. Yeah. So
take the trip, get on the plane.
Hello. That was cool. Very cool.
Yeah, you bring up a couple things there. Austrian economics in particular, it's people don't realize that how much of an Austrian economist Nelson was, really a direct...
Yeah, especially the Austrians, might I say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But a direct sort of intellectual heir to Leonard Reed. So he had such a lengthy relationship with Leonard Reed where he'd fly him down and have him speak to Nelson's people in Birmingham, and just much in the way that you and I learned from Nelson, Nelson learned from Leonard.
No question. And
read more into Nelson, got his book, and then started Googling him just to see if he would do any, if he was doing any kind of events or speaking or. And fortunately, that was early 2016 when I was doing all this, and turned out that in May of that year, wow, so we're coming up on almost the precise anniversary. I think it was mid-May of 2016. He was doing what would later, what I'd later find out was one of his last full-length, two-day, 10-hour seminars in a town called Rancho Cordova outside of Sacramento. And he was hosted by Nelson Nash Institute authorized practitioner Kaylin Peterson. So I went to that event. I had already been had some correspondence with Bob, and so Bob had shared with Nelson who I was. He, at the time, I had committed to a PhD program at Texas Tech, and so what Nelson had learned was that, you know, this PhD student pursuing Austrian economics was going to come to one of the seminars.
So Bob warned him.
Yeah, gave him a heads up. But he was so excited, and authentically excited, and not like contrived. And, you know, sometimes you meet people and you can tell they're kind of putting on a act or whatever. But his, I mean, it's just like from a pure place of warmth and engagement. You know, so he was very excited to meet me, and I was excited to meet him and to hear the seminar. I mean, that was, seeing him speak was a very unique, no one speaks like he did, right? No one could convey a difficult, in this case financial, but in any case, in any difficult, you know, any difficult kind of concept, no one could convey that kind of information the way he could. And so the seminar was like a sight to behold. You know, he had some slides, and maybe he'd glance at them every now and then, but otherwise it was 10 hours of basically extemporaneous talking about the concept and what he had come to learn about money and history and banking function and all that.
You know, I got to say that he probably glanced at the slide to make sure y'all were on the right page.
Right, yeah, for our benefit, right. You know. Pausing to make sure that we were keeping up,
right?
Because he didn't have any problem. Mm-mm. Even when, so he was 88 when he passed, but right up until that point, he was perfectly, fully, intellectually, mentally, you know, on point and engaging and
crystal clear.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think I last spoke to him the week prior, after he had told me about he was going to do a heart procedure. I think it was on a Saturday, that previous Saturday. Talked to him ever so briefly, whenever it was. He was in the hospital. I called just to check in on him, and got Mary, his beloved wife of, gosh, was it 66 years, 67 years?
66 years.
66 years. And she was so sweet. He's like, well, Nelson's putting out his hand. I'd like to talk to you. You know, that's awesome. He's sitting there in a hospital bed. Still wants to get on the phone and chat with you.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure he was educating the physician,
you know. Yeah,
before he goes under the ether, you know. That's true.
So that's how I met him, and that's kind of how things developed. And Federal Reserve, gold fractional standard, reserve banking, the business cycle, politics, left and right, all of that. You could spend all day talking, and plenty of people do, and entire organizations like the Libertarian Party exist to complain about the problem, put forth national, political, top-down, centralized solutions.
Well,
and you could spend a lifetime involving yourself in that.
Yeah.
So Nelson was all about set forth the individualized solution and explain how it's done.
And that it is possible.
Right.
You know, at the you and me level, from the bottom up, without top-down thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need Big Brother solving anything.
Or anybody's permission, or having to take a vote on anything.
A license.
Right. Right.
You know, that reminds me, though, shining the light, that way back when I was you know, I had discovered Leonard E. Reed through Nelson Nash and Fee, and, you know, reading his books and just reading more like iPencil, OMG. I mean, you spend 14 years in the financial world and were never exposed to iPencil. That's a shame. Mm-hmm. But there is one video at the time, you know, several years ago, there was one video of Leonard E. Reed, you know, just giving a presentation that was recorded. And he uses the example of the light, you know. It's excuse me. It was pretty interesting. You know, he turns a light on and, you know, light repels darkness, period. You know, the darkness is when the light comes on, darkness is repelled, period. You know, and then, you know, shining a light on a wall or he did it a couple of different ways, I believe. But then, you know, you put a flashlight onto the light. You know, it's just interesting. And so I don't know how many times I watched that video. I think it's been redone by Fee as well. So the same video has maybe been reproduced. But very interesting, Leonard E. Reed. The only video that I know of, mm-hmm. of him.
And Nelson, so the point of all that, Nelson was would consistently bring that up and was an example of it himself.
No question about that.
Life and how to put forth. And that's one thing you and I have talked about, just in terms of, regardless, outside of infinite banking per se or the mechanics of whole life or any of that, just the method of how to go about conveying a complicated concept. You know, the whole that people, I don't know if it's right to say they take it for granted, but I think you could make the case that some take for granted just the idea of a 10-hour seminar. You know, that didn't come out of nowhere, right? He had to put that together, mm-hmm. and it was only after several iterations of other methods of trying to convey what he wanted to convey that he came upon the 2-day, 10-hour format.
Mm-hmm.
And so even from just a pedagogical, you know, standpoint about how to teach something or how to convey something, you know, he's really
You throw them big words around.
Yeah, it's only a few syllables. It's not too bad. But he really pioneered a way to, in the digital era, you know, even with all the internet and social media, you know, still had a unique in-person, personal method of conveying a concept. And then even when he finally wrote the book, you know, it's a series of stories, a series of examples of basically illustrations where he's conveying a concept without talking about it directly.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.